FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is February 8th, 2017. Hard to believe. And January just flew right by. And that's life under Trump. And you just don't know what's going to happen from day to day. All sense of predictability is gone. And our next guest, well, Joe Messina, what can you say about him? TheRealSide.com. Any questions, comments, etc.? Send off an email to kl@kerrylutz.com. kl@kerrylutz.com. Joe, welcome back. How are you?
Good. I'm real good. Thanks for having me. I always have fun with you, Kerry, when we're on together.
Likewise. And last time we spoke, you were about to release your book.
Yes, Ramblings of a Right-Wing Bible-Thumping White Guy. All the things you were taught to hate over the last 8 years. And I wrap them up in a nice, neat little package for you.
Yay. Well, I assume the book's available on Amazon.
It's if you want a signed copy, which I don't know why you'd want a signed copy, you head over to my website, therealside.com, or you hop over to Amazon, you get it, I guess, in a day or two. Then some of them have like same day shipping, that kind of stuff. And hopefully you'll enjoy it. I believe you'll enjoy it.
You probably get drone delivery. Yeah, I see. It's right on your site.
Right?
Here.
The drone delivery. Yeah, there you go.
It's right on your site. Ramblings of a right wing Bible thumping white guy.
Listen,
it's the black and white edition.
I was on a radio station live when somebody was interviewing me, and when I gave him the title of the book, he laughed for so hard. He said, "We got to go to break. I can't stop laughing."
I've purchased a copy of it, the Kindle edition. But make sure you send me a signed copy, okay? And I'll give you a good review.
Sir.
All right.
Yes, sir.
So, hey, all good. But must reading. So go buy Joe's book over at therightside.com.
And, the real side.
Oh, Christ. I say that all the time. How do I mess that up?
That's because you know I'm right all the time.
Yeah, I know you're right. But it's therealside.com. It's Joe Messina's site. You know, you've got an insane leader of the Senate there. I mean, this guy says that not only are half of his family here illegally, but they're also identity thieves. I don't know. Are they car thieves? Does he have any hitmen, murder for hire? Maybe we could hire some and take them out. I'm not really serious about that. This is just a joke.
Thank you. We have Governor Moonbeam, right? I don't know what country he's done it in, but they've opened up a California consulate. Now, last I checked, consulates were for countries, right?
Yeah.
And it's actually against federal law to open up, a consulate type of thing for a state in other countries.
So, absolutely against the law. Right? There's not even a question. It's a supremacy clause. It's like bankruptcy. It's like if California wanted to open its own post office up, it can't do it.
They're talking about printing their own currency. It keeps coming back around. I'm going, hello? Anybody home? Anybody read the Constitution?
People are nuts.
You're pushing my buttons here because my joke is I've heard the word Constitution from the Democrats more times in 15 days than I heard it in 8 years. You know what I'm saying? Well, all of a sudden they found a copy.
Obama couldn't have cared less about something like as trivial as the Constitution, but all of a sudden it's become etched in stone not to be violated ever by Herr Trump, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He thought it was toilet paper for the downstairs bathroom. He didn't know what it was. But I got to tell you something. You started me down this road. So Governor Moonbeam, who I believe wants to be a president, that's why he wants the state to break off, because it's the only chance he'll ever have of becoming president. the next guy in line for governor of California is, I can't even think of his name now. Oh, he's a real whacktoid. Anyway, he's come out
Take your pick. And
I know they're all real whack
in California.
So he's come out and he has said that even though the Constitution gives you a right to have a gun, it doesn't give you a right to have ammunition. I'm going, oh, wow, that's really good logic. I like that one.
The Supreme Court's dealt with that.
Yeah,
it ain't going
to
work.
But I love these guys. You have to admit, only in California. So now we have state president pro tem Kevin DeLeon. He's come out and he says half of his family is in this country illegally. They used false documents. Okay. They got false social security. I mean, he went through the whole list and he said, under President Trump's new executive order, these people would be deported. Hey, Kevin, I got news for you. Under the United States law, your people should be deported. Has nothing to do with Trump. The only thing Trump wants to do is enforce the law. Wouldn't that be a good thing to do? Kind of start enforcing our laws? That would be great.
What a novel concept, Joe.
Oh,
what a novel concept.
And he has put it, this is the nut job that put the bill forth, SB 54, that would make California a sanctuary state. Now, Kerry, listen, I had I'm on a school board in California. I'm actually the president this year of a pretty large school board.
Congratulations.
So thank you. I get a call from an LA Times reporter who says, are you going to follow suit with the other school districts? And are you going to do a resolution claiming that your district is a sanctuary district? Now, obviously, he doesn't know who he's calling, right? So I said to him, look, I just want to be clear here. You want me to put a resolution forward that would designate that our district is a sanctuary district and we would not comply with federal law. That's what you're asking me to do. Even though when I got elected, I swore to uphold the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of California, and this flies in the face of both of those constitutions. And he goes, well, aren't you concerned that young children, young undocumenteds are going to be pulled from the campuses? I said, I'm not concerned that illegal children that are here illegally are going to be yanked for campus, because in the 9 years I've been here, we've never seen it happen. The guy that sits next to me in the day has been here 16 years. He's never seen it happen. And you cannot make a resolution. We cannot at a school board level create a policy that goes against state or federal law. So he says, his last words to me were, so you're not willing to protect the kids. I said, I'm willing to protect all families. Are you having trouble grasping the English language? And the phone call abruptly ended.
I can hear the click.
Yes,
I can hear the echo.
But it's nut jobs like this de Leon that make it almost impossible for us to have a civil conversation and move through these. You know, de Leon he did a radio show interview, and one of the things he said that I just think is nuts. He says is that they have to do this, that to survive in today's economy, you have to have phony Social Security numbers. You have to have phony documentation. You have to have phony green cards for these people. What world do these guys live in?
I don't know. It sounds like bizarro land. Been watching too much Seinfeld or something. I don't know. I don't know what to think about your politicians there, but probably not much different than others around the country. And then you got your case of the overpaid BART janitor, right?
Oh, that's great. I saw that and said, I picked the wrong profession. You know what I'm talking about? Just think about that. He's making over $250K a year. And last year he made over $160,000 in overtime. But here's the deal. You know, policemen, they pretty much have to beg for overtime no matter what's going on in the city.
Yeah.
Here's a janitor that just makes it happen. The man, check this out. The man worked, I think it's 18 days, 17 or 18 days solid. He worked 17 hour days.
That's pretty good. He works harder than Trump.
Yeah. Apparently he has to take naps from time to time in the supply closet, because that's where they've caught him from time to time, napping, sleeping. Nobody's written him up. Nobody's done anything with the guy. They're not willing to bring him up on charges. They've even said they will not audit him in the future. So this guy has gotten away. He's made, God, I just had the number. Oh, he made 700. Think about this. Even in your best years, think about this. He made $705,000 from 2012 to 2015 cleaning toilets. Mm. So for all nice you guys that are sending your kids to college and you're spending 50, 60 grand a year, no. That's send them to cleaning. Insanity. Send them to cleaning school.
Yeah. Hey, and just teach them how to learn how to sleep in a closet. And wow. I think they got it made.
Yeah. Just amazing.
And this is when BART wants to raise $3.5 billion selling bonds to do a long-awaited system overhaul. Hopefully that overhaul will include robots that will do the cleaning so they can get rid of this idiot and probably all the other janitors who are raping the system. I'm sure he's not unique. There's 474 janitors who worked at the Oakland, San Jose, and Antioch school districts. and only two exceeded $100,000 in salaries and benefits. So I guess it's possible to find janitors who will make less than 350 or 270K a year, right?
Yeah, well, my other spin on this too is, can you imagine, two things are happening right now with this guy. Either all the other janitors are calling him to find out how to do this, or he's having to be escorted out to his car every night. You know what I'm saying? Because the other janitors probably just want to kill him.
Yeah, well, he's giving the janitorial profession a bad name.
Yeah. Yes. There you go. No, I only in California, though. Think about it.
Well, there was a maintenance worker at the Port of Oakland who also topped 200K in pay and benefits last year, according to Transparent California's data. And so, you know, but at least, well, he's a maintenance worker. I guess that's the same thing. So he's cleaning something. I don't know what he's cleaning up other than cleaning out the taxpayers, right?
Yeah, no, we see, it's really funny. When Trump put it, thinking about putting his plan forward to rebuild the military and rebuild the infrastructure, we've got Dems running around going, well, where does he think he's going to get the money? It's not as easy as making it happen. And it just doesn't become a law unless we know where the money's coming from. And I'm thinking, I haven't heard that in 8 years. What was the last time under President Obama where they said, well, you know, we're bringing forth this bill that we've put together and we know it's very expensive and we know it's going to cost us, but we're going to figure out where to get the money. We're going to make sure we get the money first, right? Mm-hmm. You never heard that. There was never a conversation from those people, was it?
Yeah.
You know,
all of a sudden they're concerned about money.
Yeah.
All of a sudden.
What about this, Kerry? They've not been going to the committee hearings, right? So they're not showing up at the committee hearings. Mm-hmm. And I get a kick out of this because they're screaming that the Republicans are, you know, thwarting the process. They're not playing fair. I mean, really, after 8 years of them slamming stuff down our throats, we're not playing fair. Anyhow, they're not showing up. Mm. And I'm saying, show up and do your job. When we knew we were going to lose, we still showed up and did our job. When we knew we were going to lose, we still went in there. We threw our crap on the table. We asked the questions that were uncomfortable. They need to be doing the same thing instead of just sitting there complaining. You agree?
Mm-hmm. Yes. You still have a job to do. And this is the way the system is supposed to work. There's winners, there's losers, but you're still part of the system. You're still supposed to carry out your responsibilities. Hey, but what about the way they shut up Pocahontas there, Lizzie Warren? You know, it's really hard to shut her up. She's kind of like second ex-wife, you know? It's real hard to shut one of those up. Yeah. What do you do with someone like Pocahontas? And she just carries on and on. She drones on and on and on and on. And finally, even weak-kneed, weak-spined, weak-chinned Mitch McConnell, he just had enough of her. And Rule 19, and it's like, which says you shall not besmirch the character of another senator, and which is done all the time. But finally, Liz, we just had enough of you. And it's, you know, they shut her down in mid-sentence.
Yeah. And they were on our case. I don't remember. Somebody, you know, wrote a piece about how they didn't
do it.
Yeah, they didn't do it to us. I'm going, whoa. Did you ever hear Harry Reid?
Oh, my God. Harry Reid. It's too bad they didn't shut Harry Reid up. That's the guy who they should have shut up long ago. But she finally got her comeuppance, and she's going to ride that into the White House, they think, come 2020. They're delusional.
Oh, yeah, always interesting.
Yeah.
And these protests that are going down, I'm sorry, these riots.
They aren't protests, they're riots, yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling people all the time, I think this is hilarious.
Yeah.
I think what's hilarious about this is, they are solidifying. He won't even have to run for office.
No.
He will be President Trump in 2020 if they keep this up.
Well, look, what area of the country put him over the top?
Oh, it was the Union Democrats.
In the Midwest. Midwest. And do you think that this nonsense in Berkeley and in, you know, all over the place is going over big here in the Midwest, the traditional Midwest, the salt of the earth Midwest? You know, look, this is ridiculous. They're just not going to put up with this. This is making the case, and it's not going to fly. It will not fly, period.
This is how they lost to begin with, right? This is how they... They lost because they poo-pooed, they discounted just a normal, everyday 9-to-5er American. And they're doing it again. You know, they're out there. Think about what these rioters are doing.
Yeah.
Smashing the windows of Starbucks coffee houses, which are totally behind them, which are totally supportive of them and Hillary. And they're not aware enough to understand.
Are you going to get me started on Starbucks?
Look,
first, they put those horrible lefty slogans, kumbaya nonsense, on the coffee cup. So I got to take a Sharpie, a black Sharpie, and just cover them up or bring my own cup in there and say, don't use your cups because I'm nauseated to look at them. Then my barista is going to have a conversation about race with me. And then they're going to hire refugees instead of Americans, 10,000 of them. I mean, look, if you can just start a coffee stand right down the street from Starbucks, I'll go there any day instead of going to Starbucks here. I don't know. What's your feeling about Starbucks now? You a fan of Starbucks these days?
Well, first of all, I was never a big fan. And because in its backroom politics, you always got that kind of left-leaning slant when you went in there to begin with. But that's beside the point.
Yeah.
But more and more as their CEO, you know, made fun of traditional people like myself, you know, and I can only speak for myself, you know, told me to take my money elsewhere, told me to get rid of my stock. If I own stock at Starbucks, I could feel free to sell it and go somewhere else. You know, you knew this was always coming down the pike. And I don't, if they would have come out and they'd say, look, you know what, that was kind of an off the cuff emotional moment. I said 10,000 refugees. I should have said 10,000 vets first. We should help them out. No, this is truly, you're seeing these people's real color. They don't care about America. They don't care about Americans. Starbucks could never do what it did or start what it did in any other country but ours. And they don't seem, I won't even say they don't seem to realize it. They don't care.
Yeah, they
just
really
don't care. No,
don't.
I will never give them another 5 cents. I won't buy anything with their logo on it. I won't go in there. There's nothing in there I want anyway most of the time. So, but no, I'd never go in there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's just, I've been going for years. There's a certain drink they make that I like. Now I brew up my own coffee at home, put it in a Starbucks mug that I once bought there. And we sit in front, most of the guys, we buy very little there. And, you know, they need an attitude adjustment. I mean, my barista, she heard me talking about Trump one time. She doesn't talk to me anymore. You know, she hasn't said a word to me in 3 months. We used to be really good friends. I don't know what the world's coming to. I never would ever not choose not to like somebody because of their political leanings or beliefs. I don't get what the world's coming to here, Joe. I really don't.
Well, so let me ask you what your crystal ball says about the outcome of the Ninth Circuit Court. You know, those bunch of loons in the Ninth Circuit Court on whether the president has a right to initiate this temporary travel restriction, not a ban, but the travel restriction.
Here's the thing. Okay, so I was a lawyer for a lot of years. I didn't do heavy duty cases, constitutional law cases, etc. They know that on the law, the judge from Seattle is 100% wrong. It's even the least legally sophisticated citizen can read that statute and know that Trump is 100% right and that the executive, the presidency, has done this dozens of times in the past.
Yep.
Dozens.
Yep.
So they're going to have to decide for Trump because they're going to be humiliated in the Supreme Court if they don't. Even with a 4-to-4 deadlock there, I don't believe the Supreme Court will roll back this power. I just don't believe they'll do it.
Right.
It's black letter law, and they won't do it not for Trump, but for the next Democrat who, God forbid, one day becomes president. They're just not going to do it. So they will not uphold this judge. They will rule for Trump. They don't have a choice. They will have to do it. That's my guess. But on the other hand, there's a reason why they call it the Ninth Circus Court of Appeals. So I don't want to say for sure, but that's my guess. They'll reverse them. They have to. They don't have a choice. On the other hand, I'm highly critical of the Trump administration, the way they implemented this thing. Very poorly done, very unprofessional. But Trump is in the consolidation phase of his administration. He's just barely grabbed the reins of power. This is the problem with not having an attorney general in office yet, and right. that'll be remedied shortly. Should have never done this. You know, we've survived so far. You know, they just shouldn't have done it till Sessions was in. Sessions wouldn't have let this happen.
Yeah, I agree with you. And again, they're doing everything they can to slow him down, and then they're gonna lay it on him for not being able to get it done. And in reality, they've done this to him for all intents and purposes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So hey, it's no big deal. It's beginner's growing pain. You know, it's just not going to make any difference in the long run. And let's just hope that that nothing bad happens as a result of these people they're letting in. All right.
Yeah. No. I plan on fighting for him, and not just because he's Trump, because I believe that I believe in the process. You know, people voted. He is our president. When it came to Mr. Obama, I didn't care for him. I didn't like him. I thought he was doing a terrible job. But I also told people, you know, you don't have a right to hate on the guy. You can hate what he's doing. And, you know, as tough as I am about stuff, I still realize, you know, people are people. People are human beings. I don't wish anybody dead, so to speak. Maybe Hitler, but you know, when he was alive, I would have wished him dead. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, we still let the process play out. We fight it the proper way. These people aren't fighting it the proper way. They're playing high school games. They're a bunch of 17-year-old spoiled brats, and they're mad because you won't let them use the car to go out drinking and driving.
This is bad. They're trying to undermine him, undermine his legitimacy, and. You know, you can't do that because the system is. Hey, I just remember Full Metal Jacket, Arlie Ermey, you know, hey, men will live and die, but the Marine Corps is forever. Hey, men will live and die, but the United States is forever, or at least until it stops being. So you just can't do things to undermine the system like this. And it goes back to Al Gore challenging the election in 2000. It goes back to death by a thousand cuts, what these people have done, progressives undermining the Constitution. But hey, Joe, so again, best place to find you. You've got podcasts, you've got live radio all over the place. I mean, you're a one-man media empire, Joe.
Oh, yeah, right.
You're an empire.
That's funny. If you go to therealside.com, that's therealside.com, you can check out Stations and Times. You can check out my writings. You can buy my book there as well, Ramblings of a Right-Wing Bible-Thumping White Guy. Don't choke on your coffee. It's not what you think it is. you know, you just get the Stations and Times and everything there. And, you know, Kerry, I always have a ball with you. I mean, hey. You're one of the few guys that we can talk down to earth with each other, you know?
Hey, well, you're a good friend, Joe. You've helped me immeasurably, and I'm always happy to have you on and get your message out. And your website's a freaking riot. I mean, the articles you come up with are just funny as hell. I mean, my site's a little slanted differently. Otherwise, I'd be stealing your stuff right and left, which is nothing wrong with. And, you know, like I say, like I'm writing an article about Comrade de Blasio right now. And, you know, like he's going to go up the river soon. But the one thing I know I'm confident is they're going to find a bigger idiot to take his place. So always have faith.
I hope you're wrong.
I hope so too.
I hope you're so wrong, you know?
Hey, absolutely. Hey, anyway, you'll find a link to Joe's site in the show notes of this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Questions, comments, we love to get them. We really, really do. I answer almost all of them. I will admit I'm a little bit behind, a few days behind right now. Just send
nothing,
them off.
You got nothing else to do. It's not like you have a book going on.
Yeah, right. Yeah. My book, Viral Podcasting, is out. The website's being worked on now. Just send an email, kl@kerrylutz.com. That's kl@kerrylutz.com. The Twitter feed, @KerryLutz. The Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Joe, we'll talk to you again real soon. It's great catching up with you.
You too, Kerry. Thanks for having me.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.